Up first today, I'm happy to welcome A.J. Jacobs back to the show. A.J. and I talked several years ago when he wrote a book called The Know-It-All, in which he detailed reading the Encyclopedia Britannica from aardvark to zygote, A to Z, and learning everything that was in it. Then he followed that up with another book called The Year of Living Biblically, in which he followed the rules of the Bible literally in every aspect of his life. You'd have to call this, what he calls it, experiential journalism, particularly when you hear about his new book, which has just been published, which is called Drop Dead Healthy, One Man's Humble Quest for Bodily Perfection. AJ, welcome back to the show. It's nice to talk to you again.
Great to talk to you again, Paul.
Are you healthier now than you were after those two other experiences?
I am. I mean, I hesitate to say I feel great because the way life works, I'm going to say that, and then tomorrow I'll come down with a rickets or something. But I feel the best I've felt in my life, and my energy level is like double what it used to be.
Now, were you unhealthy at the beginning of this? You spent 2 years on this project, so I'm curious, was there something where you looked in the mirror and said, okay, now well, here's what my next project is. I got to get this body in shape.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was not in good shape. I was what they call skinny fat. So I looked like the snake that had swallowed a goat. And my wife, I actually came down with pneumonia and I was in the hospital, and my wife said to me, you know, I don't want to be a widow in my 40s. So you're going to get in shape. And I said, all right, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to go all in. I'm going to test everything in the world, all the medical advice, and see what works and try to perfect each part of my body.
And did she say, nah, I've been through this twice before with you. I barely lived through the Bible thing. I mean, what did Julie and particularly your three sons say about the 2 years that you were doing this?
Yeah, I think at times they want me to write a biography of Eleanor Roosevelt or something that doesn't involve me.
I'm pretty sure the kids want you to write a new Harry Potter book. But anyway.
That would be nice. Yeah. I would like to write that too.
But what was their reaction?
They were, well, you know, it is better for the Bible book. I tried to follow all the rules of the Bible as literally as possible. And, you know, I grew this huge beard. I looked like Ted Kaczynski. So in comparison to that, being the healthiest person alive is at least a little bit of an improvement.
Now, let me ask you about some of the things you encountered, because you did try some things that were extreme and some things that are downright bizarre, including at one point walking around with a helmet on your head, not on a bicycle, not on a motorcycle, but a pedestrian helmet, which I'd never heard of before, AJ.
Yes, I do not wear that anymore, and it's not something I recommend, but I thought I'd give it a shot because actually in Denmark, they recommend their people wear helmets when they're walking on the street because the statistics show that on a per-mile basis, you get in more accidents from just being a pedestrian than being a driver or a biker. So it's, you know, you look crazy, and I couldn't do it for more than a day or two. But it's something that, you know, it was a fun little experiment.
Yeah, the reason you don't get hurt is because people are avoiding you because you're walking around with a helmet on your head.
Excellent point. Yeah, it's not a great way to make friends.
Now, you put together a long list of things that you were going to try here. When you say you only did the helmet or two, you really couldn't afford to do any of these things for very long because you had such a long list of things that you were going to attempt, correct?
Well, some of them I tried to do the whole 2 years. So there were things like, you know, there was the extreme stuff, but then there was the more down the middle stuff. So it was a combination of the two, but every day was packed with, because if you're following all the medical advice, you know, that's a full day because I had to exercise, meditate. That's very good for your brain. You had to pet dogs. That lowers the blood pressure. Have sex. That's good for the heart.
How'd that one go over with Julie, by the way? Honey,
well,
we have to do this for the book.
You know, we have three young kids. So there was definitely a limit to that one. You know, I read some book that says you should be having sex every day, and that was not going to happen in our house.
That's a book written by a 21-year-old bachelor.
Exactly.
So tell me about something that was really extreme, that really tested your resolve, that at any point while you were doing it, you said, I'm not really sure I'm going to continue with this.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was tons of that. I mean, on the food side, I had to. I did the raw food diet. I ate like a caveman for a while, the caveman paleo diet.
What is that diet?
That diet is you try to eat what they ate. So the idea is to eat a good amount of meat and vegetables, berries, nuts, eggs, but no grains, because the idea is they did not farm. They were hunter-gatherers, so you don't eat breads. It's similar to the Atkins diet.
Did you have to go out and kill your own bison like a caveman would?
I don't see any. I live in New York, so maybe some squirrels, but I never got around to that.
Yeah, all you had to do was go to the green grocer and buy some guava, and that was pretty much as close as you could get to the real caveman diet.
Exactly.
What about extreme physical stuff you had to do?
Well, interestingly, I also did the caveman workout, because they believe you should be working out, not at a gym, because that caveman didn't work out at a gym. So we went to Central Park, me and some other self-professed cavemen, and you throw boulders and carry logs and climb trees, and it's and you sprint barefoot. It's hilarious. I don't do that really very often, but it is it was a fun adventure, and it made for a good chapter in the book.
Wait a second. Throwing rocks, climbing trees, running barefoot, that's the 8-year-old health plan.
that's every 8-year-old boy. Kids are pretty healthy. They're moving all the time. You know, I used to criticize my kid, you know, for fidgeting and for bouncing around all the time. But you know what? That's good for you. We should all be fidgeting.
How much of what you went through to write this book, AJ, came down to sheer willpower?
Well, a good amount of it. And, you know, one of the things I learned is how to control your willpower. How do you make yourself act in a healthy way? And I learned some great tricks. One of them is just keeping track of your numbers. Just self-tracking will help you act in a healthy way. Like something simple, I bought a $10 pedometer, and that made me walk a mile or two more a day, mm-hmm. because I was aware of it, and I was trying to get to 10,000 steps, which is what many doctors recommend, and it became a game. It's like I was at, you know, 6,000. What can I do? You know, can I look for my keys? What can I do to keep walking?
Yeah, you know, it's the same thing for people who, when they first go on a diet, are told, write down everything you eat. But you have to write down everything you eat, and you become much more conscious about what it is you're putting in your body.
Totally. And if you don't have time, now the new version is that you take a picture of what you ate with your iPhone so you remember.
Yeah, and then you delete those a week later when you realize, I don't have the willpower to stay on this diet. But you did it because you really commit to these things. It's so much so that in the book you talk about writing the book while walking on a treadmill. There are these treadmill desks that you can go out and buy, but you went with the homemade version, right?
That's right. I just bought a treadmill, and I piled some books on top of it, of the monitor, and I put my laptop on top of that, and I wrote the book while walking, and it took me about 1,200 miles to write the book. And I, you know, people ask, how do you do that? You know, isn't it hard to type and walk? I am not coordinated, believe me. And so if I can do it, then anyone can do it. It actually helps me focus. When you're walking, your serotonin levels are higher. So you it's actually more productive to be writing on this. And I know not everyone in their office can fit a treadmill desk, but even just getting up once an hour and walking around makes a huge difference.
You know what you could use? You could use some of this new dictation software that's out there. So you just,
oh, that would be nice.
Yeah, you just hold it up in front of you, and it does it on the screen. You don't actually have to type and maintain balance. You just have to be able to talk and walk at the same time.
I like that. That would make me feel like I was a character in Mad Men.
In addition to making your own treadmill jury rig device, you also did something to the toilet.
That is true. I wanted to do every part of my body. So not just diet and exercise, but I worked on my teeth and my feet. And one of the things I had to address is going to the bathroom. You know, we spend a lot of time on what we eat, but then we don't really pay attention to the other side. So this was, I learned, strangely enough, there is a healthier way to go to the bathroom. I had been going to the bathroom wrong for 40 years. And that is, I won't get into too many details.
Thank you.
But but you are supposed to squat, not sit. We were not built to sit. So squatting is it prevents hemorrhoids and it's much faster. It's harder to read, which is sad because that was something I did enjoy doing.
But. And what about bringing the laptop in there? You have no lap if you're squatting.
You have to have a good balance.
I mentioned that not only did you have to convince Julie about this, but you do have the three young boys in the house. How much of this did they go through with you? Did they try to copy Dad?
A little bit. I mean, they started monitoring me. That's when it got scary because, you know, kids, they are enthusiastic. So I had told them how bad even diet soda, which is supposed to be not fattening, the studies show that even diet soda has the effect of making us fat. And one day I broke down in the middle and I was so tired, so I just cracked open a Diet Coke. And my son was like, that's going to make you fat. And I'm like, you know what? He's right. I got to put it away. So I created little monsters.
Yeah. But how about climbing up on the toilet and squatting? Were they doing any of that?
No. We're just happy to have them on the toilet at all.
Now that you're done, are you still squatting, AJ?
I do sometimes, not all the time. I mean, I couldn't keep everything from the year, but there's dozens of things that I've changed. And they can be little things, but they have a huge impact. So something as simple as chewing my food. You know, we are a nation of under-chewers.
Oh, you know, I'm glad you mentioned this because in the book you followed something called Chewdeism. Not Judaism, but Chewdeism.
That's right, Chewdeism. And that's their term, not mine. But this is a group of passionate chewing advocates. And they say when you chew, you eat more slowly, which means you eat less, which means you lose weight. And it actually does work. So I don't go to the extremes that they do. They chew like 100 times per mouthful. So you're eating a sandwich for a day and a half. But I try to chew 10, 15 times, which is much more than I used to. You know, I never realized I would just wolf it down, like take two chews and wolf it down.
Yeah.
So something simple like that. Or even, you know, your mom told you to floss. I never flossed until I read the research that flossing, it's not just about your teeth, it's about your heart, your cardiovascular system. The bacteria from your teeth go into your cardiovascular system and cause inflammation. So it's a very serious, there's a big link between heart disease and not flossing.
I did not know that. Now, as you were doing this, obviously you can use the internet to find out about all sorts of things. Did you also use social media to tell the world that you were doing this and then invite them to tell you about their health regimens? And then did you use any of those?
I did. I mean, I got tons of suggestions, which was great. And, you know, the other good use of social media is it's a good way to inspire you. So I would post, you know, I just went for a two-mile run, and I'd get my friends to send me little congratulations. Or I think even more effective, I would say, you know, I broke down and I had a ho-ho, and then they would mock me relentlessly, and that would stop me from doing it in the future.
How much of that was there in the 2 years, the breaking down, the lack of willpower?
Oh, it did happen quite a bit. I'm only human, but
did you convince yourself, well, you know what, this is a reward. I've been working my butt off literally for the last 6 hours or the last 6 days. I'm going to have a piece of cake.
Right. Well, that is the danger of exercising. You know, you feel so noble after exercising. You're like, okay, well, now I can have 5 chocolate chip cookies, and then you just erase all of your gains. So that is a danger.
Were you monitored by anybody in the medical profession during this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had a team of medical advisors. So I had doctors and I had trainers, these, you know, guys with huge biceps the size of cantaloupes. I had researchers. So I had a whole team of people, and I was quantifying it as I went along. So I took lots of tests in the beginning and lots of tests at the end, and I did, you know, become measurably healthier.
Now, I assume that one of the things that you heard along the way was, if you do this, you'll live longer. But you have somebody in your own family who's already lived a really long time. Your grandfather, what?
Right.
He's like 94, 95, 96. How old is he?
Yeah, he passed away after the book came out, but he was 96 when he died.
Okay.
And he was a great inspiration because I think what he taught me, and the research shows this as well, that to live a long time, you should be engaged right up to the end. So don't just sit back and become a couch potato. He was out there. He was emailing. He was doing business deals in his 90s. He was going to parties. So even if you retire, keep a passion, some reason to wake up in the morning. That is crucial to longevity.
Yeah, my mom is almost 88, and she says the same things. But my mom and your grandfather didn't do much boulder throwing and toilet squatting. I think perhaps genetics.
Well, you don't need. That was the lesson. You know, you don't. It doesn't matter what exercise you do. It could be gardening. It could be throwing boulders. It could be whatever. As long as you move, that's the key. Get your heart rate up. So, don't listen to anyone who says you have to do yoga. You have to do this. Whatever it is that you move, as long as you're moving, that's the key.
You know, you're starting to sound like a wacky health guy advocate. Not quite Richard Simmonsy in that way. but you almost seem like you could be on The Biggest Loser the way you're talking now, AJ.
I'll take it. I'm sure I'd get paid more if I were on The Biggest Loser. But I do feel passionate about, giving these tips. But hopefully they're not the wacky tips. You know, I don't... aside from the squatting, I don't think people should be going out there and doing colonics or juice cleanses. Those just have no scientific evidence behind them.
Yeah.
I just try to give what is based on the evidence.
And you actually wrote about those in the experiment book, the guinea pig book, previously as well, and we've talked about that.
Right.
So now that you spent 2 years doing this and treadmilling and writing at the same time, and now the book has been published and I'm sure is a hit, what's next?
That's a good question. I mean, I've gotten a lot of readers who send in suggestions, which I love. One of the most popular ones is that me and my wife should try all the positions in the Kama Sutra, which my wife put the kibosh on that immediately. And I got to say, I'm okay with that. I don't think I have the flexibility. Even after my healthy year, I don't have the flexibility for some of those things. So it's still up in the air what my next one is going to be.
Well, congratulations on this one. It's always a great pleasure to read your work and always a pleasure to talk to you as well, AJ.
Oh, thanks. I love being on your show.
Thank you. AJ Jacobs, a senior editor at Esquire and the author of the new book, Drop Dead Healthy, One Man's Humble Quest for Bodily Perfection. It's not a self-help book. It's not a how you can get healthy book. It's a very funny book about the 2 years he spent with this quest. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.